This is James Moore, pastor of New Life Community Church in Kansas City, Missouri, praying this audio message will be a blessing to you. For more information or to donate, please visit newlifekc.com.
There was a lady who died, and they were having a funeral at her church. Funeral's all done. The pallbearers picked up the casket to take her out, and they bumped the wall, and they heard a moan. And they stopped and opened up the casket, and she was still alive. Praise God, right? 10 years later, she died again. They had the funeral at the same church. Funeral's over. Pallbearers were carrying it out, and her husband and all like, "Be careful, don't bump the wall." I tend to over-prepare for these moments, and I know that everybody likes to go home at a regular time, so some of the scriptures we're going to put up, we're not going to take the time to read. I will just tell you about them because some of the segments are pretty long. We're going to talk about Samuel this morning. Name of my sermon is, Are You Hearing God? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time this morning. I ask that your Holy Spirit would filter the words, Lord, between my mouth and the ears of those that will hear, Father, and open up the hearts that we may all leave here with something more than we came with this morning. In your Son's name, amen. Amen. Let's talk about Samuel to begin with. The book of Samuel was originally written. It was one book, and it was made into two books. Actually, in the 2 Samuel, Samuel's not even mentioned in the whole entire book of 2 Samuel. 1 and 2 Samuel deal mainly with King Saul and King David and how they came about and what happened in their lifetimes, okay? But the first part of Samuel is about Samuel. Samuel is one of the few men in the Bible that we know about, and I think maybe there's only 7 or 8, that we know about his entire life from the time he was born till he died. A lot of the people we don't know much about. What we do know, according to Scripture, in 1 Samuel 1, 11, 17, which we're not going to read all of it. I'm just going to tell you about it. Samuel's mother, Hannah, was a barren woman. And during those times, that was a bad deal. Her husband had 2 wives. The second wife, he would look at her and she would get pregnant. And he could he could stare at Hannah and nothing ever happened, right? And every year they would bring their families to the tabernacle to pray and to sacrifice and do all that. And here she's got her whole brood coming with her husband, and Hannah's coming with nothing. And every year Hannah prayed to the Lord. Well, this particular year when they came, it says she poured out her soul to God and said that if you would give me a son, I will give him to you all the days of his life. Which would make him a Nazarite. His hair would never be cut. Anybody that saw him would always know that he was a Nazarite. And so that's what happened. And there's a whole little thing there about Eli thinking she was drunk and all that. But in the end, Eli says, go in peace and may the God of Israel grant you what you've asked. So she goes in peace. And lo and behold, she gets pregnant. And they name him Samuel. And Samuel has different variations of what his name means, but actually, the one I have, it says, God has heard. That's what Samuel's name stands for. And after he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When the bull had been sacrificed, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, pardon me, my Lord, as surely as you live, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord granted me what I have asked of him. How old are children when they're weaned? 2 years old? Maybe 3?
1 year.
1 year in some cases. Here she is, though, after having had this son, and she's giving him to God now, and saying, here he is, he's yours, take him. And I'm keeping my word and what I ask of the Lord. That's an amazing thing to me right there. And then another thing when I was studying about this, the author of an article said, she went back to the place where it all started. Didn't start with her husband getting her pregnant. It started with her and God when she asked God, when she pouring out her soul to God. That's where the pregnancy started. I ask you this morning, when's the last time in your life that you have went back to where it all started? Be it salvation, be it some event in your life that God transformed your life because of. How long has it been since you've been back to where it all started and thought about what God has done for you since then till now? Let's move on to, let's see here, I picked up two pages. The call of God on Samuel's life. Let's go to Samuel 3, verses 1 through 19. And the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. And the reason for that is because Israel was not serving God. They were wicked, they were evil, they would turn from God and were doing their own thing. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord. We move on down. One night, Eli, whose eyes had become so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am, you called. But Eli said, I did not call. Go back and lie down. So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am. You called me. Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli. And here I am. You called me. Sometimes the interruptions of God in our life is life-changing. And that's what was getting ready to happen for these two, for Eli and for Samuel. What was getting ready to happen next was going to be life-changing for both of them. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down. And if the Lord says, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down. The Lord came and stood there. Now, how awesome is this? The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other time, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Now, I've been walking. I've been walking with the Lord for a long, long time. And I have heard the voice of the Lord many times. And I have never once said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And I ask you this morning, is your heart like that? We can't get our head around the word servant. Maybe some of you have. Praise God. But I personally have never said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Have no idea what I thought in those times, what I said, but it wasn't ever that. And the Lord said to Samuel, see, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. And at that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from the beginning to the end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin that he knew about. His sons blasphemed God. He failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering. Samuel lay down until morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him. Here I am. What has he said to you, Eli asked. Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you. And so Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. And then Eli said, he is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes. We don't know the exact age of Samuel at this time, okay? Based on when other people were dying, when other people were being born, they estimate Samuel was about 12 or 13 years old at this time in his life. 12 or 13 years old, and God is calling him, and he's giving him his first prophecy. And the prophecy he has to give is to his mentor, to tell him that his sons are going to be killed and he's going to have his priesthood ripped from his family because of the sins in his family. What a prophecy to have to give to somebody at 12 or 13 years old. I can't even imagine. But the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. We're going to repeat that part two or three times between. He let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground, meaning that everything that Samuel prayed, everything that he spoke, God didn't let it all happen. It all, when he prayed and asked for things, God heard, and Samuel listened for God's responses. Three things that we do know about Samuel: he had godly character. We look at verses 128, 211, 18, and 26. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. Samuel worshiped the Lord right there the rest of his life. He had his own place, but he worshiped the Lord all of his life. And then his dad and mother went home to Ramah. The boy ministered before the Lord under Eli. He stayed with Eli all the time. And the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and favor with the Lord, with the Lord and with the people. You got to understand that people were coming there every year doing sacrifices, and people were coming, some of them every week, to live there to the church. And Samuel was just a little dude running around in his little ministry robe and all that, and people got to see him, people got to know him, much like PA. 4 years old, you said this morning, when this church started. He was a little dude running around the church here, and all of us that have been here for a long time have got to see him grow and find favor and stature and with the Lord and with us to see. And it was the same thing for Samuel. All the people that kept coming there time and time again got to see him grow up to become what he turned, what God used, which I think is just an amazing thing, because we seldom recognize the things that God puts in our life, just like with PA. It doesn't make us or break us that we got to see PA grow up and do what he's doing now, but it does to some of us, because we've been part of it. We've got to see it. So it's an example that God put in our life that sometimes we don't always recognize those. Next thing is that Samuel always told the truth. If we look at that 3:17 again, he's 12 or 13 years old. I think anybody here has had a 12 or 13-year-old kid say they don't always want to tell the truth. But he told the truth, ever so severely, of what the consequences were. He told the truth to Eli, what was getting ready to happen to his family. He was a godly man. We look forward in Samuel 12:2-5. We find out that now you have a king as your leader. As for me, I am old and gray, and my sons are here with you. I have been your leader from my youth until this day. Here I stand. Testify against me in the presence of the Lord and his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Whose donkey have I taken? Whom have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed? From whose hand have I accepted a bribe to make me shut my eyes? I have done none of these things. If I have, I will make it right. And the whole people of Israel said, hey, you have never done any of those things. You have always been just and upright and everything. He was a godly man, always, from the day he started till later. He was called as a priest. We see in 1 Samuel 2:18 and 3:1, but Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. And then 3, we see the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. And in those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions. But yet, at 12 or 13, God put a prophecy on his heart, and that started the visions. That started the prophecies that were going to start coming to Israel in the days ahead for the next umpteen years that he served. As he grew in stature and favor with people, the elders of the tribes would come to him occasionally over difficult matters and ask him to judge it. They knew that he was the representative of God's authority for Israel. There was no doubts about it. They understood that. He was called as a prophet. We see in 1 Samuel 3, 20-21, the Lord was with Samuel, and as he grew up, he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. Why do you think God would keep revealing himself to Samuel? Do you think maybe because Samuel was hearing, because Samuel was trying to open up and listen to what God had to say to us, to him at that time? Samuel was called as a judge in 1 Samuel 7, 15-17. Samuel continued as Israel leader all the days of his life. From year to year, he went on a circuit, from Bethel to Gilgal to Mizpah, judging Israel in all those places. But he always went back to Ramah, where his home was, and there he also held court for Israel, and he built an altar there. There were approximately 12 or 13 judges during that time span. And some of them were victorious military leaders. They had done great triumphs, and God put them in charge, okay? Some of them were people that were just appointed for certain things, say like Samson. As great as Samson wasn't following the Lord. He was doing his own thing while him and God were kind of working together at times. Samuel was different. Samuel wasn't a great military leader. Samuel didn't have extraordinary strength, but what Samuel had was God's ear. And what God had was Samuel's ear. God knew that when he talked to Samuel, Samuel would hear, and Samuel would listen, and Samuel would do and obey what he told him to do. He was just a normal guy. He wasn't anybody special, but his integrity was beyond reproach. His judging was more focused on teaching and helping Israel to repent from where they were and being fair in what he administered as justice. You see, Samuel had a real heart for Israel. He spent his life dealing and praying an intercessory prayer for Israel and what was going on there with the country. And we'll talk here now about the fact that in 1 Samuel 4:6, which you guys don't have back there, the whole time Samuel first started his ministry, Philistines and Israel were at war all the time. It was a constant thing going on. Just the Philistines were coming down, raiding Israel and killing people and all that. In one particular battle, they had Israel lost thousands of soldiers. And in that same battle, they also lost the Ark of God. And so things were pretty dire at that time. But Samuel, because he had a heart for Israel, you know, Samuel could have just blown the whole thing off, said, well, it is what it is, God, you know, but he didn't. He kept pursuing God, and he kept going after God, and Samuel calls Israel to repentance. You see, he assembles everybody at Mizpah. He calls the nation to repent. Put away your foreign gods and prepare your hearts for the Lord and serve him only. He will deliver you. They fasted, they repented, and they prayed. And Samuel prayed on behalf of the people. Life was great. Life was good. We got God on our side. Everything's wonderful. We're moving forward with life. Except what happened next is very interesting because it's the same thing that happens to us sometimes. 1 Samuel 7:7-13. When the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. When the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. They said to Samuel, "Do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines." And then Samuel took a suckling lamb and sacrificed it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And he cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. He let none of his words fall to the ground. He cried out, God heard. God heard the cries of the people because they had turned to God. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day, the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them to such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them all the way to a point below Beth-Kar. Interesting. God gives them a victory. What's the first thing Samuel does? He wants to put up a stone. He didn't celebrate it on. He wants to celebrate it with God. He puts up a stone and says, thus far the Lord has helped us. And so that day the Philistines were subdued and they stopped invading Israel's territory throughout Samuel's lifetime. Now, in addition to that, you find out that Israel also went and helped some of their fellow neighbors do battle against the Philistine and push them out of their areas at all. And so they all had a peaceful time. So sometimes when we are faithful and do what we're supposed to do, there's some good repercussions for other people besides just us. Does that make sense? Now, God tests us. He gives you a victory, and the deceiver wants to come and steal your victory. It just happens every time. And God allows it because he wants to see where your heart is. They had had a victory, and then the Philistines came, and who did they turn to? They kept their victory by turning to God and asking him, help them, save us. But as we all know, when life is good, our hearts change. They don't mean to change. They just do. It's not that we don't still love God. It's just that God's not the center anymore. And so it was with Israel. We go to 1 Samuel 8:4-9. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, you are old and your sons do not follow your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have. But when they said, give us a king to lead us, this displeased Samuel. Now Samuel could have done a lot of things, but Samuel did what he always does. He prayed. He prayed to the Lord, and the Lord told him, listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king, as they have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are doing to you. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly and let them know what the king who will reign over them will claim as his right. Does this sound familiar to anybody? Anybody here let another king get in the way? Anybody here ever let God move over somewhere else and you put something else in his place? You see, we're all guilty. Life is good. We're moving along and God is good to us. And somehow or another, we let something else become first. We let something else become more important than coming to church, hearing God's word, trying to listen to what he has to say. You see, he wants to talk to us. He wants you to hear what he has to say. But we got some other God up there that's kind of messing the whole deal up. You know what I'm saying? Samuel was a king maker and a king breaker. God said they want a king, give them one. So Samuel, listening to the Lord, followed his instruction, and we come up with Saul. Saul reigned in Israel, I think 40-some years, something like that. But the problem was, after a period of time, just like Israel, Saul's heart became wayward, and other things started becoming more important than God. And one day, God tells Samuel, you need to go tell Saul his kingdom's done. I'm putting somebody else in charge that's after my heart. And that's, we all know the story about Saul and David and that whole thing, how it transpires. Samuel's examples are things that we cannot get away from. Nobody in this room can get away from the example Samuel set for us. First off, he was obedient to God. He was obedient. It was never about being king me, but it was always about being God's servant and serving him and whatever he said and doing that and hearing. I can't express to you enough about hearing God. He heard what God wanted him to do, and he did it. His faith was unwavering in any circumstance. We know from 3:19, it says, he let none of his words fall to the ground. He knew that every time he prayed to God, God heard him. God was listening. And he listened for God's answer. Okay, God, what do we need to do here? We don't listen for God's answer. We pray and then we go on. He believed that God heard every word he prayed, and he listened for God's voice for the answer, what that was. And his willingness to pray and intercede for others. He was all about other people. He was about Israel, because Israel had fallen away from serving the God who had saved them and brought them out of Egypt and did all those things, but yet now they want a king. Now they got a king. Wonderful. One of the greatest benefits of our salvation has to be that we have the ability to hear God and speak to God. There can be no intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father without it. But as easy as it is for us to speak to Him, the average Christian can't hear Him. The average Christian doesn't even know when God's speaking to him, because they're not seeking it. They're not trying to invest. They're not trying to find out. Your life will be radically transformed if you can start hearing God when He's speaking to you all the time. You see, it's never the Lord not speaking, because God always wants to give you direction of your life if you'll seek Him and ask. It's us not hearing. We know that from His scripture, it says His sheep hears His voice. It doesn't say His sheep can hear His voice. It doesn't say His sheep should hear His voice. It says His sheep hear His voice. Are you hearing God's voice today? What about last Tuesday? Were you hearing God's voice then? Or Wednesday or Thursday? Or what about tomorrow? Are you going to listen for God's voice? We must believe that God is already speaking. He's speaking to every one of us in this room today. It's just a matter of we're listening. How come we don't hear? I wish Rick Archer was here, because I'm going to really pick on him. If you know Rick Archer and you go up and you ask Rick Archer, how's your day going, man? What's happening? You know what the first words out of Rick Archer's mouth are? I'm busy. Rick Archer is always busy. If I ask any of you the same thing, you may not say I'm busy, but you know what you do? You give me a rendition of your schedule for last week, today, and tomorrow, and I know you're busy. When we're busy, that's not conducive to hearing God's word. We let the busyness of our life push God aside. We let the busyness of work, of raising kids, keep us from hearing God. Or some of us are just lazy. We don't want to invest in God, or maybe we're scared. We're afraid what He might tell us if I start trying to listen to what He has to say. It might be different than what I want. Two things here as we're getting closer to closing. Psalms 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Can God speak in an audible voice? Yes, sir, He can. Yes, ma'am, He can. But it's in stillness, not busyness, that we tune our spiritual ears into what God has to say. God speaks in a still, small voice most of the time. He speaks His spirit to our spirit. He does promptings in our life through things. Second is very often, and I'm so guilty of this, I can't even begin to tell you how many times I've made this mistake. We often mistake the voice of God for our own voice. How many times I know I prayed about something, and I know what Ed McNeil wants, okay? Ed McNeil's got it worked out. It looks good. It sounds good. There's no reason why it doesn't work. But all of a sudden, there's this still little voice in there prompting me not to do what it is I'm getting ready to do. Let me give you a little clue. When you get that still little voice and it's opposite of what you're thinking, it's probably God talking to you. He's trying to save you from some future heartache and some future problems, from some future trials and tribulations that you're going to bring onto yourself. John 4:24 says, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in the spirit and in truth. God doesn't operate in a physical realm like we do. God operates in a spiritual realm. If you want to communicate with God, you're going to have to get spiritual. You're going to have to get your life in order. You're going to have to get sin out of your life. You're going to have to be trying to do what's right, even though we all make mistakes. We communicate God spirit to spirit, not brain to brain, not mouth to ear, but spirit to spirit. And he uses that small little voice. He never tells you what to do. He just kind of prompts you to do things, you know? And one last thought about Samuel. You're busy? None of you. There's nobody in this room that was busy as Samuel. He was a prophet. He was a priest at the tabernacle. He was a judge that traveled around and judged Israel. He didn't hop in his car and drive 30 minutes to go 30 miles to Lee Summit to hold court. He had to walk, or he rode a donkey, and how long it takes you to ride a donkey, 30 miles or 50 or wherever. He was busy. And he was married and raised a family too. He had sons. He had problems just like you did. We know from the Word his sons weren't doing what they were supposed to. You're not any busier than what he was, I promise you. So in closing, I challenge you this morning, invest in God through obedience, through having the faith to believe, no matter what the circumstances, and praying that we may learn to hear God's voice as Samuel did and allow our lives to be transformed. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit newlifekc.com.